This morning, the thoughts that I'm going to be sharing with you from Scripture fall under the category of the second great commandment. Of course, we rehearsed those just a short while ago. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. All that we're going to be talking about this morning falls under that second heading of loving your neighbor as yourself. Well, I have a riddle to propound to you. Let's see how sharp you are. I wield no weapon, nor do I even raise a hand, and yet I can inflict wounds from which some never recover. I have nothing to do with covert military operations, and yet possess such cunning and stealth that my victims are all but defenseless. It is nearly impossible to track me down. I am elusive. I have toppled governments. I have destroyed careers. I have ruined lifelong friendships and broken up marriages. I have wrecked entire churches. I have no name and yet operate at the highest echelons of society. With utmost efficiency, I inflict heartache, sleepless nights, suspicion, division, and grief. Who am I? I am gossip. Nice try, y'all. Gossip. Or just say no. Some of you may recognize that picture from Bye Bye Birdie, the telephone tree. Now, since I have been at Shema, and it's going on 20 years now, I don't recall our ever having given a sermon specifically on the subject of gossip. In part, that's because it isn't our normal custom here at Shema to preach topically, but rather we tend to go through a book of the Bible at a time. And another reason is that, by the grace of God, over the years, we've had little reason to have to do so. By and large, congregation Shema Yisrael is comprised of mature, kind-hearted men and women, the kind of people who have reverence for Adonai, who love one another, who go deep in the Word. And while we are not at present embroiled in some crisis, gossip is so serious a sin and so destructive of the unity that Messiah Yeshua wants for us that from time to time we ought to be warned of it. And so this morning, with God's help, we'll see what the Scriptures have to say about gossip. We'll consider its, perhaps some of its forms, take heed against engaging in it, and learn principles and techniques for how to shut it down when we encounter it. First, let's define gossip. To gossip is to engage in idle conversation in which you reveal personal, intimate, or scandalous news about someone, often unconfirmed as true, especially of a negative nature, to one or more other people, or to instigate a rumor about someone to others. It takes a lot of different forms, but that essentially is what gossip is. What does the Torah have to say about gossip? You may find it interesting that there are not a lot of verses, per se, in the Torah that speak to this issue, but what's there is profound and very serious. Exodus chapter 23, verse 1 says this, "Do not spread false reports. Do not align yourself with a wicked man by being a malicious witness." And you're saying to yourself, wait a minute, Rabbi Glenn, I don't see the word gossip there. But the presumption is that the gossip or the rumor mongering, the false reports, is based on falsehood, and that those who engage in it are aiding and abetting wickedness. Notice how gossip is equated here with someone who agrees to perjure themselves in a legal dispute. That's what a malicious witness would be. It's because the spreading of rumors is usually born out of malice. God commands that we not do such things. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16, and for this one, I like the Jewish Publication Society translation in particular. You shall not go up and down as a talebearer among your people, neither shall you stand idly by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. Note the tandem prohibitions. First, the one against gossiping, and then right on its heels, the command not to stand idly by as someone is being murdered. Why would the one follow the other? Because, my friends, things go with things. When you speak derogatorily about someone, what is generally referred to in Judaism as lashon hara, wicked speech, when you speak derogatorily about someone, you diminish their dignity and their humanity in the eyes of others. And according to Jewish teaching, you may very well endanger that person's life since you cause others and possibly the wrong person to view them disdainfully. All it takes is one sick, vindictive person to hear those things and justify in their mind doing harm to that person. What do the Ketuvim, the writings, Psalms, and Proverbs have to say about gossip? Psalm 15, verses 1 through 3 says this, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man. If you want to enjoy close fellowship with God, if you want to dwell with him in his kingdom, you need to be a truth speaker. You cannot spread evil reports about people and expect that God is going to approve of you. Now, let me be candid and say that I've messed up in this area. We've all messed up at times in this area. But I'm not sure we realize just how serious an offense this is in the eyes of God and how it puts us in danger of his judgment. We've got a long way to go here. Psalm 101, verse 5 says this, and God, speaking through King David, he speaks as the person of the Lord, whoever slanders his neighbor in secret, him I will destroy. Oh, boy. It's not an easy thing to hear that. But that, let me read it again. Whoever slanders his neighbor in secret, him I will destroy. Whoever has haughty eyes, arrogance, and a proud heart, him, God says, I will not endure. Well, that's not exactly ambiguous. Slander is designated to destroy a person's reputation. Adonai says he will destroy the slanderer. Now, both of these psalms, Psalm 101 and Psalm 15, were written by King David, a man who knew exactly what it feels like to be wrongfully denigrated. Psalm 101 also gives us a glimpse into the soul of the slanderer, the thing that motivates them. They're arrogant and full of pride. By reducing the stature of others through gossip, they hope to elevate their own. Now, the Proverbs, as you know, are replete with warnings about taking heed to what comes out of these mouths of ours, right? Well, it's no surprise then that there are many warnings against gossip and slander in the Proverbs. I'm not going to go anywhere near through all of them, but this morning let me share seven of them with you. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush to evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. See, gossip is divisive in nature. It creates distrust. It's meant to do that. Hey, did you hear what so-and-so did? Can you believe that? The gossiper is creating suspicion in the mind of the listener about the person they are gossiping about. It is one of the seven things that God detests. Proverbs 10:18-19. He who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. If God will destroy those who spread slander, you would have to be a fool to engage in it. This is describing the two-faced person, the one who appears to be friendly, but is concealing their hatred of you. And here, God is also giving us a bit of practical advice to keep us out of trouble. Namely, don't talk so much. Talking too much has gotten many a preacher and a politician in trouble. Sooner or later, you're going to put your foot in your mouth. Therefore, he who restrains his lips is wise. And we have some humorous expressions to convey this truth. Better to be silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Or, how about this one? God gave you two ears and one mouth. Try to use them proportionally. Or, how about this one from Lemony Snicket? If writers wrote as carelessly as some people talk, then thank you. Now, the next series of Proverbs highlight the fact that the person who gossips cannot be trusted. They destroy friendships. They set people against one another for their own twisted pleasure. Don't reveal anything to a gossip that you don't want people in the next county to know about. In fact, just avoid them altogether. Proverbs 11:13. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. By the way, I don't want to hear any of your secrets. I try to be trustworthy. I just don't need to hear your secrets. Two people can keep a secret if one of them is gone, right? That's an old expression. Proverbs 16:28-17:9. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. He who covers over an offense, in other words, he who just doesn't say anything, just keeps quiet. He who covers over an offense promotes love. But whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Now, this is not saying that you shouldn't correct somebody when they've sinned. It's not saying that. It's saying if somebody's done something, you have the choice to just not telegraph it to anybody else. You can deal with them privately and gently and lovingly. But nobody else needs to know about it. But he, whoever repeats the matter, separates close friends. Proverbs 20:19. A gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid a man, and I would add, or a woman, avoid whoever talks too much. And we are warned in some of the Proverbs about the consequences of our words. Yeshua said, by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. He didn't fabricate that whole cloth. It's all It's all the way through the scriptures. We're warned about the consequences of our words. With the words of your mouth, you have the potential to give people comfort and joy. And with the words of your mouth, you have the potential to crush their spirit and emotionally destroy them. And I'll tell you, as enticing as some salacious bit of insider information about someone may be, we must have nothing whatsoever to do with gossip. Proverbs 18 talks about this, verses 7, 8, and 21. A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 26, verses 20 through 22. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. It's just so wonderful when the gossip is gone and there's shalom. There's shalom once again. It's like going through a storm and coming out. It's like, whew. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious person to kindle strife. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. Again, we hear that. And they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Proverbs 26 repeats the enticing nature of gossip, but admonishes us to shut it down altogether and to shun it. Don't spread gossip. Don't even listen to it when it's coming from someone else or you are party to it. You need to shut it down. Otherwise, you add fuel to the fire. You'll be guilty of contributing to strife between people. And we've already seen how God feels about those who cause strife among people. All right, well, let's see what the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant, has to say about it. Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. Paul, in talking about the degenerative cycle of sin, and how once people turn away from God, things go from bad to worse to gewalt, right? Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. And did you notice that gossip and slander fall right in the midst of that list? Sins, horrific sins, this list that we've seen. Sins which in context are characteristic of godless people. So my question is, how could we allow ourselves to behave like the godless? These will incur God's severest judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, Paul writes, "For I'm afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be. And you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, factions, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder." There's just nothing more painful when you love people to see them bickering and sniping and backstabbing. There's just nothing more painful. And if we feel that way, how much more does the Father in heaven grieve when we behave that way? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 and 31. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. We have the option to do good with these mouths of ours. We need to resolve to do that. But we also need to shun slander and gossip and all of those things. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. Paul is describing what an elder or a pastor, a bishop's wife, should be like in the midst of a larger discussion of what are the qualifications of an elder. And he says, in the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. And then again, writing to Timothy in the same letter, he warns against those who have, as we like to put it, too much time on their hands. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to. Maybe one of the best cures for gossip is just do your work. You got a job to do, do your job. You have tasks to perform. Don't procrastinate, get to the tasks. Writing to Titus in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, Paul writes this, "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good." And let me tell you, we could do a whole series of sermons on just James chapter 3. We're not going to today, and we're not looking at chapter 3, but James chapter 1, verse 26 kind of sets up what he's going to talk about later. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. That's not just talking about profanity, though we would probably like to think that that's all it's talking about. It also includes gossip. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. All right, let's talk about this. What kind of person engages in gossip? Someone who is idle. We already talked about that. Someone typically who is unhappy. And if they're unhappy, why should anybody else be happy? Someone who is angry. They have a bone to pick, right? They have issues. They are angry. Someone who is insecure, and this is in particular what we ought to think about. If you're comfortable in your own skin, if you know you're in a good relationship with the living God, you know you're in a good place, you're secure. Why would you need to put anybody down? You're a child of the Most High God. Right? It's usually those who are very insecure, who feel like the only way they can elevate their own status, maybe in their mind, is to bring someone else down. They're insecure. And the kind of person that engages in gossip is someone who has forgotten the second great commandment, because none of us would like to be gossiped about. Well, what kind of person entertains gossip? Because it's not just the gossiper, it's the one who's willing to listen to it, which is equally wrong. What kind of a person entertains gossip? Someone who is equally idle. Someone who is afraid, too afraid of disapproval to do the right thing and say, stop, I don't want to hear that. And you shouldn't be gossiping. They're too idle and they're too afraid of disapproval. And they are also someone who has forgotten the second great commandment. If somebody got on the phone and was trying to gossip with you about Rabbi Glenn, I would hope that you would shut it down. That you would be courageous and say, stop, what you're about, I would just want to stop you. I see where you're going with this. We shouldn't be engaging in this. If you have a problem with Rabbi Glenn, go talk to Rabbi Glenn. If you have a problem with Joe Schmo, go talk to Joe Schmo, right? But the listener, the one who entertains gossip, has also forgotten the second great commandment because they wouldn't want people hearing and allowing gossip about them to continue. What's the net effect? What is the effect of gossip? It causes distrust. It's meant to. It causes division. And when I think that Yeshua's last prayer, one of his last prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane, was, Father, my desire is that they may be one. And when you think that that is his heart, that we be one, just remember that next time you're starting to catch yourself about to say something maybe you shouldn't. Because it does not contribute to unity. It causes division. What else does gossip do? It causes heartache. Because you feel the person who is the subject of gossip is helpless. It feeds a deadly form of pride. Again, those who engage in gossip usually are trying to elevate their own status by diminishing somebody else's. It feeds a twisted, deadly form of pride. What else? And you're not going to like this. It advances Satan's agenda. To the end that Satan wants to prevent people from coming to know Messiah Yeshua, one of his greatest tactics is to set God's people against each other, create infighting and suspicion, and the outsiders look at that and they go, why would I want to be a part of that? Feh. And Satan is laughing gleefully. Gossip advances his agenda. And finally, it invites God's judgment. We've already seen how God feels about gossip. So, how should you respond to gossip? This is very simple, five words. Nip it in the bud. Okay, I'm done. Well, no. But that's it. You don't need to have a special dispensation of divine insight into the mysteries of God to know what the right thing is to do. When somebody begins to gossip, you nip it in the bud. You shut it down. Don't entertain it. Not at all. In that moment, when you realize what is about to happen, you need to interrupt the would-be gossiper mid-sentence and politely but firmly tell them that you will not give ear to gossip. And yes, you have every right to call it gossip. The first step toward remedying sin is to identify it. By shutting it down, you actually are helping the other person because you're preventing them from sinning in that moment. That's the loving thing to do, even if they don't appreciate it at the time, and they probably won't. If they say, hey, I thought you were my friend, you should reply, I am your friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. What would you rather I be? Friends try to keep friends from sin. When friends or coworkers begin to gossip about someone, use the opportunity to say something nice. Perhaps that will redirect the conversation and serve as a subtle reminder that the group can do better things with their time. As a bonus, if you're always the person who consistently and only says good things about people. People will trust you, and also they'll figure out not to gossip in your presence. Gossip isn't only wrong for Christians and Messianic Jews. It's wrong no matter who's doing it. But whereas I don't have any particular expectations of unbelievers, of worldlings, nobody who names the name of Yeshua should have anything to do with gossip. The scriptures, as we've already seen, both Old and New Covenants, are clear-cut as to how egregious is the sin of gossip, and pronounces the severest judgment on those who engage in it, both the talker and the willing listener. And I'm going to add a little thing here. Don't think that gossip suddenly becomes not gossip if it's done in the midst of prayer requests. In fact, I consider that grotesque, because you're taking something holy and you're making it unholy. You know, a good number of prayer requests can and ought to be left unspecified. But don't think that just because you're sharing something in the midst of taking prayer requests, and certainly while you're praying, oh, Lord, I thank you that Jim has finally stopped drinking and, you know, blah, 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 or, you know, don't do that. It's grotesque. Rabbi Jack Abramowitz has written about the Jewish teaching on what is called rechilut, the prohibition against gossiping. There's actually a Jewish doctrine about the seriousness of the sin of gossip, rechilut. And here's what he writes. There are quite a few mitzvot that involve gossip and slander. Collectively, such evil speech, as I mentioned earlier, is known as lashon hara, which literally translates as evil speech. This particular form of smack talk, as he calls it, rechilut, however, is tale-bearing or gossip. And the nature of it is as follows. Jane hears Mary say that Sally is nasty. Jane runs to Sally and says, "You should hear what Mary is saying about you." Now, not only is Mary bad-mouthing Sally, Sally is mad at Mary. Jane, the gossip, has increased animosity among members of the community rather than defusing the situation. The word rechilut comes from machil, a peddler. The gossip is like a salesman going door to door, hawking their merchandise. Unfortunately, in this case, the merchandise isn't brushes or encyclopedias. It's slander, anger, and hatred. Rechilut is a particularly dangerous thing. The Talmud says that it metaphorically kills three people. It kills the speaker, the recipient, and the subject. Therefore, it behooves us to stay far away from this matter, even as the seemingly innocent listener. The reason for this mitzvah is that God wants there to be peace among his people, not animosity. Plain old slander is bad enough, but spreading it around only makes it worse. And now I want you to hear me on something, friends. It really doesn't require a special empowering of the Holy Spirit for you to refrain from gossiping. It isn't an addiction. Now, if you are practicing the spiritual disciplines of prayer and reading and contemplating the scriptures, asking God regularly to give you fresh measures of the Spirit, if you do those things, you are wise and you're far less likely to walk in sin. And you should do these things if you want to be strong in the Lord. But the fact is, you are fully capable of not gossiping. Don't think to say, "Oh, I couldn't help myself." Nonsense. You willingly chose to talk about someone behind their back, or you willingly chose to listen to what somebody else said behind somebody's back. Psalm 141, verse 3, "Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Ephesians 4:29, Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. For the sake of your walk with the Lord, for the sake of your soul and the souls of others who are damaged by the sin of gossip, for the sake of the unity in our community that God wants us to have nothing to do with it on either end. Amen.